Bibles with us in Luke chapter 17. And then you might want to put a finger in Genesis chapter 19. All right. But we're going to take our text out of Luke chapter number 17. Welcome each one out this morning, and good to see visitors with us today, and trust you've been made to feel welcome in the house of God this morning. And we are here to worship in spirit and truth, and that's all our desire is to uplift Jesus. Amen. If you're here for any other reason, you're here for the wrong thing. Amen. But if you're here to glorify Him and uplift Him, you'll find out that He inhabits the praises of His people. And if you'll just worship Him this morning, He'll show up and He'll bless your heart in spite of the preacher, in spite of the singers, in spite of the church, in spite of the people around you and the noise that's going on, in spite of anything else. If you want Jesus to minister to your heart and your life, He will. Amen. If you have found Luke chapter 17, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able this morning. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 28, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained a fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Our Father, we thank You this morning for this day that You've given us. We thank You for this place where we can come to meet in Your name, and God, to call upon You, God, to look to Your Word, Lord, to hear from You. And that's our desire this morning, is that You would speak to our hearts and lives and help us each one, God, just to find the place where we need to be this morning, and Lord, and to follow that path, Lord, that You lay before us as we look to Your Word, as it ministers to our hearts and lives, and as through Your Spirit You speak to us and show us the way that we must go. Help us, God, to be obedient. Help us, God, to be surrendered and submitted unto what thus saith Your Word and Your will. Now, Lord, we thank You for what You have done. We thank You for what You're going to do. And we praise You in the name of Jesus this morning. We say amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus is talking here about the coming of the Son of Man, when His kingdom shall arise. And the Pharisees have come and they have challenged Jesus about when this kingdom would come. And Jesus reminds them that His kingdom isn't a physical kingdom like they're wanting and like they're expecting, but it's a spiritual kingdom that's built in the hearts and in the lives of men and women who have trusted Him as their Savior. And as He begins to tell them, he reminds them that it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come unexpectedly. It's going to come irregardless of whether they're ready or not. And He compares His coming to the time of Noah, when the people in this world were living and going about their daily lives and doing whatever they wanted to do, and would not heed the preaching of the man of God as he proclaimed the truth of God, just because they didn't understand it, just because they couldn't conceive of it, just because it didn't happen according to the way that the world was going and the way that they thought it should go, it certainly couldn't happen. But one day, that first raindrop fell that they had never expected, and pretty soon many more followed it, until the whole world was engulfed in a great flood that destroyed everything. Sodom and Gomorrah is the second example that He gives, and how they were eating and drinking and going about their daily lives, and they lived according to their own desires and according to their own ways, and according to everything that they thought was practical and they thought was needful for them. They took no consideration of what thus said the Word of God. They took no consideration of what God taught about what they was doing. They lived their own lives according to their own lust and their own desires. And yet, in a moment when they thought not, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then He gives us these solemn words as He talks about the deliverance of Lot. And in verse number 32, He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. What do we need to remember about Lot's wife? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Mrs. Lot. It never mentions her by her own name. She's always just referred to as Lot's wife. But that's all we need to know. Amen. We know that she lived with a good man, because the Bible tells us he was a righteous man that dwelt there in Sodom. And his soul was vexed every day because of the sin that he lived around. I believe in my heart that Mrs. Lot was a good woman. She was the wife of a good man. And I believe she had an understanding of God's ways and God's principles. And yet all that we know about her was when she left Sodom and Gomorrah, and as they entered into Zoar, she looked back. And the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. We need to stop and think about Lot's wife and what Jesus is trying to show us and what He's trying to get us to grasp. Look and remember Lot's wife. Remember her deliverance. Now, if you stuck your finger back in the Old Testament and go back into chapter 18, verses 20 and 21, the Bible tells us that she was delivered from a sinful place. And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous," He said, "I'll go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me, and if not, I will know." She lived in a place that was rampant, a place that is even known today and is even accounted today as a place that was destroyed because of its sin. As a matter of fact, one of the sins that is running rampant throughout the world today got its start, and it got its beginning, and it's taken its name from one of these cities. You see, homosexuality was one of the sins that God had cried out against. But it's also one of the sins that Sodom and Gomorrah was prevalent in. Today, even today, when you say the word sodomite, people know exactly what you're talking about. They might not know anything else about the Word of God. They might not know anything else about the Bible. But if you say sodomite, they know. Amen? We think sometimes that we live in a world that is so much more wicked and is so much worse than what any of these Old Testament people and any of the New Testament saints had ever experienced, never lived. And, you know, I don't really care for that song, "One Day at a Time." A lot of people love it. Chris Christopherson's song, "One Day at a Time." I don't particularly care for it. Because he says in that song, well, you know, it's worse now than it was then. It's not. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? It's no worse today than it was in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, they got to witness the very Son of God as He came into this world, as He healed broken bodies, as He raised the dead. He healed the lame. He brought back the blinded eyes. He caused the deaf ears to hear, the deaf tongues, the dumb tongues to speak. He done all these wondrous things, and yet they crucified Him. I can't imagine it getting any worse than that. Amen. I can't imagine it being any worse than it was in the days when God had to come down and destroy the world because the evil of it cried out against it. That God would have to go and visit a particular city, a particular place to destroy it because the sin of it was so grievous and had come up before Him. Oh, we live in a wicked world, but so did Mrs. Lot. And don't think you got it any worse than Mrs. Lot had it, because it was bad. It was so bad that God even wanted to check it out in person. She was delivered, and she could find deliverance in this place. Don't ever forget that. There's not a time and there's not a place where God can't deliver you. There's not a hole so deep that you can fall into that God can't deliver you. There's not a sin so grievous that God can't deliver you. There's not a heart that is turned so far away from God that He can't save it if he'll humble himself and commit himself unto God. Sometimes we think we're in a place that has gone too far for God to do anything. Let me tell you something. He delivered Mrs. Lot. In one of the worst cesspits of recorded history. And I can tell you, He can deliver you today as well. Amen. Amen. But not only do we have to remember the place of her deliverance, we need to remember the means of her deliverance. You see, we live in a time, and we was talking about this in Sunday school this morning, where you know, sometimes I'm getting ready to preach, and sometimes I get up in between the pew and the pulpit. God changes my mind, and He changes the message. And I don't like that, because I'm not in charge. Amen? I don't feel like I've got it all together. And that's when God uses us the most. Is when we realize that we don't have it all together and our dependence is completely on Him. Amen. We live in a world when everybody thinks that we got to do this for ourselves. We think it's a sign of weakness when we yield ourselves to someone else and we ask someone else to help us and we look to someone else. But friends, I want to tell you something. God's means of deliverance is a means that causes the individual that's going to find it and going to accept it to have to surrender and submit themselves unto Him and to Him alone. Amen. There is no other way. There is no other plan of salvation. There is no other means of deliverance. There is no other way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't be good enough. You can't change yourself enough. You can't do enough to make your life acceptable unto God. The only thing that can make a difference in your heart and in your life is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The only thing that can bring deliverance to you is God's plan. And God had a plan. Amen. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. Before the world was spoken into existence, God knew there would have to be a plan. And He had a lamb slain, prepared before the foundations of the world. Aren't you thankful this morning that God has a plan for your deliverance? Amen. And if you'll follow His plans, if you'll just submit to His means of deliverance, you'll find deliverance. When you're in a hopeless situation and you find that there's no hope anywhere else but in Jesus, amen, you'll find that He brings hope. Amen? When you got to the place where there's nothing else that can help you, and you realize there's nothing else that can be done for you, and you find out that all you got's Jesus, you find out that He's sufficient. Amen. Amen? When you come to the place of realizing that you're a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves to be in hell with your back broke, but Jesus died on an old rugged cross to save you from the curse of your sins, and you accept Him as your Savior, you find out that He's enough. Amen. See, God had a plan, and He provided the means for her deliverance. He sent His angels there. In Genesis 19, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." Hey, man, aren't you glad that God's got a plan? Amen. You know, when I read that, and did you realize what happened? They didn't want to go. They had to be compelled to go. Amen? Let me tell you, sometimes you won't feel like getting saved. Sometimes you won't feel like submitting to the will of God. Amen? Sometimes God has to compel you. That's why He brings conviction to the heart. That's why He takes away your peace and your joy. That's why He stirs you from the inside to make you take care of the things that are on the inside that have an effect on the things that are on the outside. Amen? That's why God does things the way that God does it. He's got to compel you. It says, while they yet lingered, the angels took a hold of their hand. I'm glad that when I refused Him the first time, when I refused Him the second time, God didn't quit dealing with me. Amen. God didn't quit tugging at my heart. He kept dealing with me until I realized that there was no other way. There was no other hope. There was no other grounds on which I would find salvation and deliverance than through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, they told them what was going to happen. They told them it was time to get out. People today are hearing the message of the gospel, and they're turning away. They're turning away. They're turning away. They don't need to hear that. But I'm glad that God keeps a dealing. I'm glad that God keeps a compelling. I'm glad that God keeps a tugging. Amen. And if you'll follow Him as He leads you, and if you'll follow Him as He tugs at your heart and submit yourself unto Him, you'll find deliverance. You'll find salvation. You'll find peace. You'll find hope. You'll find help. Why did she have to have all this? Because of where she lived. Why did she have to have all this? Because of what sin does. I told you, the Bible says over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know what? We need deliverance because we were born into the midst of a sinful world. I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born a sinner by a sinful woman and a sinful man. But yet God brought deliverance. God brought hope. God made a way. God had a plan. God met the need that I had because He knew. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death." Amen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her deliverance. Remember the need that she had. Remember the plan that God prepared. Remember, even when she was reluctant to go, God still compelled them. God still brought them out, took them by the hand and brought them out. I'm glad he still tugs. He still tugs at our hearts. And he compels us to come out. But not only do we see her deliverance, look at her dilemma. When she came out, I don't know why they lingered. Maybe they were trying to gather things up. I mean, stop and think about this. Everything that they owned was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything that they had was there. As a matter of fact, they left some behind. When the angels come, it said, get your sons and your daughters. Amen. Who left with them? Just two daughters. Not only did they have sons and daughters there, they had sons-in-laws. Amen. When Lot went to talk to his sons-in-laws, they thought he was crazy. They had never heard such nonsense before. I got news for you. The world still thinks we're crazy. Amen. Amen. I got news for you. Sometimes my family thinks I'm crazy. Sometimes my friends think I'm crazy. Amen. Sometimes my church might even think I'm crazy because I get too extreme on things. But if I'm crazy, just leave me alone. That's all right. Amen. I'm happy just where I'm at. Amen. Because I've faced this dilemma before. I've looked at both sides of where I'm at before. I'm comfortable in where I'm at right now. The Bible says that there was a plan that God had perpetuated. He put it in motion. The angels come to bring them out. And they sent them to a place. The angels told them to go to the mountains. But Lot pleaded to go to Zoar. Amen. You know, it's always better to be where God wants you to go than where you want to. But they didn't go to the mountains. The angels of the Lord let them go to Zoar. Zoar, whichever way you prefer. But he had a place where they could go. A place where they could find refuge. They brought them abroad and said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. But Lot pleaded to stay on the fringe, to stay on the edge of the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the cities were being destroyed. When God had a place in the mountains where they'd completely be separated, where they'd completely find safety. There was a plan, and there was a place, but there was a pull. Man, when Lot and his wife and his daughters entered Zoar, the Bible says that the fire and the brimstone was now falling upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were told not to look back. Man, I tell you what. When we choose to serve Jesus, when we choose His deliverance, we need to go forward and quit looking back. You know, I thought about old-fashioned day, you know, where we're looking back and we're thinking back about simpler times. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Going back, I tell you what, sometimes I long for the simpler times. Amen. Man, things were just so much more peaceful than it seemed like. Amen. What is much turmoil? You know, if people didn't agree on something, they didn't shoot one another, and they didn't burn each other's house down or burn businesses down. And you know, if you didn't agree with the party that's in office, you waited, and next time around, you tried to vote the rascals out and vote the people in that you wanted and whatever. Amen. My lands, you're afraid to talk to anybody anymore. They'll come burn your house down. I was listening on the news on the way to church this morning, and I had Fox News Channel on, and they were talking about some place overnight in New York City. I forget whether it was the Republican, one of the Republican places there, offices, or whether it was a Democratic office, but one bunch went and burnt the other place out, and it's right in New York City, and left a note and said, it's going to get worse than this. They're coming back, and it's going to be worse, and blah, blah. My lands, what a awful, awful place, an awful, awful world we live in. I long for the simpler days, and I like to look back for the simpler days, but I can't live my life in the past. Amen? As a child of God, I can't live my life in what I once was. I need to live my life in what I am today. I'm delivered. I've been set free. I've been made free. And I've been given freedom that I can't get anywhere else and in anything else but Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Amen. Don't look back. I don't want to go back to what I once was. I want to be what He wants me to be today. Amen. Amen. I can't go back to what I once lived and what I once experienced. But praise God, I can live where He wants me to be today. I can do what He wants me to do today. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know what that means? I can live beyond my past. Folks are suffering from addictions of every kind. Let me tell you what, I got good news for you. Rebirth can do what rehab never could accomplish. Amen. You trust it to Jesus, you can find out that He can bring you through. He can set the alcoholic free. He can set the drug addict free. He can set the adulterer and the adulteress free. He can set you free from gambling. He can set you free from anything else. And He not only sets you free from it, He makes you free from it. Amen. Don't look back. Don't look back. But there's a pull from the past. There's a pull from the flesh. Man, Mrs. Lot has done left everything behind. She's left some of her family behind. She's left all her possessions behind. You know, we identify sometimes with our possessions, do we not? Isn't that one of the problems we have as Americans? We identify with our possessions. You know, we got to have a bigger house, a fancier car, you know, the better this and a better that, because we identify with our possessions. I think she thought she left her identity behind. There was that pull from back home. But maybe there wasn't only the pull, maybe there was a push. Amen. They went to Zoar instead of going to the mountains. When she entered into Zoar, maybe she looked around and she seen things that were familiar, that reminded her of what she just left behind. Amen. Maybe she entered into Zoar and she was reminded of the family that she left behind when she seen the families in Zoar. Maybe when she seen the house in Zoar that people were living in, it reminded her of the home. And she didn't just have the pull from what she left behind, she had the push from where she was, just reminding her. You know, sometimes I heard E.K. Bailey preached a message on the preacher and the hoochie. One of the best messages I ever heard preached. And he brought that point up. He talked about how when Gomer became the wife of this prophet. She was this immoral woman that God told him to go marry, a harlot, one who was an adulteress. And she married this prophet. He said, maybe when he brought her into the school of the prophets or the church where she was, she had the pull that was going from the life that she once lived, but there was a push from the self-righteous people on the inside. Sometimes folks are dealing with that in their lives. And it makes them look back. It makes them long for the things that were behind them. It makes them waver in their faith and in their walk. She'd found a means of deliverance. She'd followed the path of deliverance. But she'd wavered from the plan of deliverance. And it caused her to look back. Remember Lot's wife. She's no different than you and I. She had those same desires, those same thoughts, those same things that were longing inside of her. And when she had to give everything up, she wanted to look back. And as she was looking back, she felt that tug. As she was looking forward, she was feeling a push. And she turned into a pillar of salt. You know, we sang that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Y'all know it. Sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. But how many times have you? Amen. How many times have you turned back? How many times have you looked back and you quit, said, I'm just not going to do it anymore? How many times have you been to the place to where you just felt so overwhelmed and so overburdened with the cares of serving Christ that you just thought it would be easier to go back? The children in the wilderness, they kept looking back and they kept saying, oh, if we was just back in Egypt, if we was just back as slaves and just back in bondage, we had the garlic and we had the onions and we had the cucumbers and the milk. We had all this stuff back in Egypt, but they forgot what they had in Jesus. They forgot what they had and what God had provided. Man, they never had a need. They had shoes that never wore out. They had clothes that never wore thin. They had food to eat every day, which they didn't have to labor for and work for. They just had to go out and pick it up off the ground. It was there. They had water from the rock when they needed water. They had everything they needed. But they kept looking back. Let me tell you something, friends. The Lord is sufficient in everything. The Bible says over in Philippians, He will meet all our needs according to His riches in glory. And most of the time you hear that quote stop right there. But the last part is the key. In Christ Jesus, He meets him through Jesus. The greatest need I had was salvation. Amen. He met that need through Christ Jesus. Amen. The greatest need I have as I walk through this world and as I journey where He has me to go and doing what He wants me to do, His instruction and guidance and direction and deliverance, and praise God, I find that in Jesus. Amen. When He gives me a call to preach and I want to know what to preach, I don't know what I need to say and how I need to say it, but praise God, He comes by, speaks to my heart, and He gives me the word. Jesus tells me what is needful. Jesus tells me what to share and what I need. Everything I have in Jesus. I needed a home. He provided a home. I needed a job. He provided a job. Amen. When I don't have any other friends, I got a friend in Jesus. Amen. The psalmist says, when my mother and my father forsake me, when all my friends forsake me, when everybody else has forsaken me, Lord, You're still there. You see, everything that I need, I got in Jesus, and I found it in Him, and I don't need anything else. So why would I want to go back? The dilemma can be settled in our hearts and lives if we'll surrender to Jesus. But Paul said, I got to crucify the flesh every day. The dilemma is real. Amen. He says in Romans 7, I don't do the things I want to do. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I should do, I don't do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? It's Jesus. Who forgives us? It's Jesus. Who makes it just like we had never sinned? Justified just as if I'd never sinned? Who does that? It's Jesus. Who gives us our righteousness? It's Jesus. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. We can't go back and we can't turn back. We can't let the world have its fulfilling victory in our life. We need to find our victory in Jesus. We see her deliverance. We see her dilemma. And we see her demise. She turned into a pillar of salt. Genesis 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That wasn't God's desire. It wasn't God's hope and his will. Even though the world is overrun by sin, and God said the wages of sin is death, and he's talking about an eternal death and eternal suffering, it's not his desire that any should have to face that place called hell. You see, we think of death as when this mortal flesh, this mortal shell in which we dwell, dies, ceases to exist. That isn't death. That's just passing from the land of the dying, either to the land of the dead or the land of the living. You see, in hell, it's going through the throes and the pangs of death for all of eternity. Never dying. Suffering in the worst way that you could ever imagine. The Bible says back in Luke chapter 16, as it teaches the story, the account of the rich man and Lazarus. It says, in hell he lift his eyes. When you read that, you'll notice it's in the present tense. Why? Because when they wrote it, that rich man was still alive in hell and suffering. And he said, I'm tormented in this place. A place of unimaginable suffering. But on the other hand, for the child of God, for the one who has trusted God's plan of salvation, has accepted his invitation of deliverance, and has met him on his grounds and on his terms and not our own. We've trusted Christ as our Savior, realizing there's hope and no other and no other way. We pass from the land of the dying to the land of the living. Amen. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And if you read your Bible, if you got a good King James Bible and you read it, you'll find out that in heaven there is no death. Amen. It's the land of the living. If Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and heaven is God's throne, amen, it leaves no doubt where the child of God is going. But when we refuse God's invitation, we refuse his plan. We've failed to follow his simple direction and instruction. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not God's will and it's not God's desire for any of us to perish. It wasn't God's will for Lot's wife to turn into a pillar of salt, but her own choice, her own decision, her own rejection of God's plan and God's will and God's way brought her to the place where she was. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, says the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because God's judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, just like that. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because God's deliverance was sure. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because refusing God's plan, refusing God's deliverance, means certain death. It don't matter how close you got. She was following her husband, who the Bible says was a righteous man. His soul was vexed daily. It doesn't matter who your husband is. It doesn't matter who your wife is. It doesn't matter who your mama is and who your daddy is. It doesn't matter what your grandma and your papa was. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you've done with what God's instructed you. Remember Lot's wife. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking about the children of Israel and how they, even though were disobedient, followed God and they drank from the rock in the wilderness. And he said, and that rock was Jesus. And he writes these words. Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They're an example. They're a lesson for us. God's word is recorded for our benefit, not for His, but for ours. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what the consequences of rejecting God's deliverance. Remember the consequences of making our own choices, facing the dilemma that's before each and every one of us, to accept Him or reject Him. Remember her demise. Remember Lot's wife. And if God did that to her, what makes you think He won't do it to you? If God rejected her, she got all the way to the place where she could find deliverance, but refused to do it God's way. And she turned around and looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. God's brought you here today for a purpose. God's brought you here because He's got a plan. He wants to bring salvation to your life. He's brought you here for a purpose and a plan. He wants to give you deliverance from what's keeping you bound. He's got a purpose and a plan. He wants to give you hope for what has stolen your hope. But you got to do it His way. Remember Lot's wife. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation as we stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.